Welcome to the Events Innovator Show, where we explore the ideas and strategies that are transforming events. Get ready to unlock the secrets to creating extraordinary experiences. And now, here's your host, Phil Michon.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Event Innovator Show. Today is all about wellness, and I have two friends with me here. David Stevens is all about wellness. He is the wellness architect. He's a wellness architect, and he's head of events and wellness for Ichi Club, Club Ichi. I didn't remember the name of your company, David. You can tell us that in a minute. Lizzie Williamson is from Down Under, and she is the 2-Minute Movement lady from Down Under. She is an, what is it, energy buster or something like that. So,
excuse buster.
All right, excuse buster. David, what is the name of your first company, Olympian Meetings or something like that?
You got it, Olympian Meeting, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, guys, welcome to the show. Love to have you on here. David, let's start with you. When did wellness at events become an important topic? Now, hold on a second. Net promoter scores went out the roof, but you said that your focus is on the organizers, not the attendees. Am I right? I misunderstood your comments pre-show because I thought you were saying you really just focused on helping the organizers take care of their own wellness, kind of with the airplane, you know, model of get your own oxygen so that you can care for everybody else. But you're saying bake it in because you understand the why and the how. Well, I can't tell you how many events at the end of it, I can't walk. I need to, you know, rest for 3 or 4 days because I haven't taken great care of myself before the event and in the event. So this is a super important topic. And just to switch over to you, Lizzie, I know your backstory started with being a mom, but let's fast forward that just a little bit of when you discovered that this was a big deal for events and why.
I was sitting in conferences, same as you, David, and just starting to look around and people would be there. And like, you feel like just swimming around their seats a bit because you could see their lower back, shoulders, necks, everything was starting to get tight and achy. Then I'd see people just stifling yawns, maybe getting distracted from the speaker. Even if the speaker was fantastic, if they'd been speaking all day, and I looked around the room, I thought, if I could get up on that stage, I know that I could shift the energy in this room. I know that I could have everyone's bodies feeling better, switch on their brains, mood boosting, connecting more with each other. And I knew it because I'd been a professional dancer. That was my career for a long time. So I knew the power of movement. And also I knew it because I'd experienced postnatal depression. And I knew at that time that if I could just do a couple of minutes of movement, that really helped to shift the way that I felt. So I convinced my first very brave conference organizer that to let me do it. And so, yeah, the first time I did it, I was there backstage going, oh, my gosh, what if nobody does it? And I'm there on stage moving away. But the way that I discovered to do it, and I guess the formula behind actually getting people moving, that first time it worked, and I've never in the last decade had an event where it hasn't worked and where I haven't had people saying to me afterwards, thank you so much. I really needed that.
All right. I'm going to ask the forbidden question. Are you willing to give away your secret formula?
Of course. Absolutely. It's about, you don't want to jump up on stage as the Energizer Bunny and go, okay, everyone, let's go off your chairs and we're going to move together. Whoa. And because we're going to go, whoa, 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 way too much. I mean, some people in the room be like, yes, I've been waiting for this moment all day. And then half the people are going to go, no, 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 I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. So first of all, I think it's really important to build some kind of, yeah, exactly, David, on video here is like the crossed arms. I mean, look, I always get the, oh, she's making us move. I get the groans. But I think one of the big things to do straight up is like any interaction, we want to build some trust. And I build that trust straight away by sometimes sharing my story. Depending on the audience, the story could be about how I found it really challenging to get moving myself. I just couldn't get myself to do it when I had postnatal depression. The story could be about when I was on a cruise ship and I had to step out on the stage and it's rocking and I didn't know I was going to fall on my face. But I realized how much my energy is infectious and how important it is to be able to shift our state and bring that energy. It might be a bit about, I'm going to ask you to do something. And the reason I'm going to ask you to do it is because it's going to boost your creative output, studies show, by 60%. And those creative juices are going to continue to flow after you sat back down. So start to warm the audience up. They see it. Put on that great song and ask you now if you're physically able. I use my body to get on up off your chairs and everyone rises together. We also talk about how that energy is infectious. And when you move, you give permission to the person next to you to move. So it creates this sense of connection. And then as it goes on, bring in more about the science and about what it does to your focus, to your brain, to your body, and all that kind of stuff. We want to ease people in. We don't want to straight away going into some crazy old school dance moves. Simple things. I'm going to ask you to turn your head to one side. Just move your neck out of that same stuck position it's been in for a long time. Roll your shoulders back because when you get your body in this open state, you feel more confident and you project more confidence. That's what research says. Little things like that. And then as the day goes on or as the session goes on, throughout the keynote or the day, then by the end of the day, I mean, you know, everyone's up there dancing, not a problem.
You know, at our most recent conference where you were there, I saw something happen that I did not expect. You know, I was on stage playing behind you. So I got a, you know, a bird's eye view of exactly what happened. And I was expecting at least a third of the people to be in the cross-honored position, because I used to be a worship pastor, and that's literally what would happen. There's a third, and usually guys who were out there arms crossed and refusing to do anything other than just stand there. And so I was expecting some of that. There was only one person that I could see in the entire room of 1,000+ people who had her arms crossed. She was up front close so I could see her. Everybody else, it looked like a wheat field in Kansas where I live, because you had them all moving with you in sync. And it was truly, I was stunned of what you had done. And within just like a couple of minutes, from not knowing anything to fully engaged. And I think one of the things you do really well is you lay that groundwork. You explain why before you ask them to do. David, I know you do this too, because I've seen you MC, and you like sharing the why, the science behind it. So let's just geek out, both of you, a little bit more about the science behind why movement and wellness is important, that gets us to that thing every organizer wants, which is an increased NPS score. So, David, let's start with you. Yeah, and I think you're right about the camaraderie, because I don't push myself, I'm sure, to the 80% level in most of my workouts. I think I'm doing okay. I'm breathing hard at the end of it, maybe sweating, but I think having someone else push you and being able to measure it, how long do you have to do that for that benefit to kick in? Is it 5, 10, 20 minutes? Is there a number that they found? Yeah, I think Orange Theory is really built around this, their fitness centers, and they don't let you get above that orange level more than like 5 or 10 minutes, I feel like, of an hour. Oh, is it? Okay. They don't want Yeah. Lizzie, build on that or take us a different direction. What are some other things that you know about the science that create benefits in the ability to learn and be present at an event?
Well, you're an event planner. It's like you have this room available at your event, and it's like this pharmacy, and you could go in and you could find something if you wanted to energize your attendees, or you wanted them to improve their focus or feel less stressed or increase their brain power, all of that. And you could just go into this pharmacy and pull some stuff out and put it in the drinks of all your attendees, and that would happen. And the thing is, when we get people moving, we have this inner pharmacy inside of us. And so we can access this inner pharmacy by doing certain things. You can do high intensity. You can do the bits of walking. You can do some dancing, stretching, breathing. Don't even have to work up a sweat if you don't want to as well. And so you've got this incredible thing available to you, this biochemistry inside of your attendees. And like you're saying there, Dave, I mean, it puts attendees at such an advantage, and it puts the event professionals at an advantage if we're able to access this. So, for example, when our muscles contract, we release something called myokines. And this is what scientists have dubbed hope molecules. They make us feel more hopeful, more socially connected with each other. When we move together, we release oxytocin, the same thing that a mother releases when they have a baby to help bond with the baby. We feel more bonded and connected with each other. Phil, you would have seen that from the stage, what I see every time I get people moving. You can see how people start to look at each other, smile, connect. It's quite an incredible thing that happens. And then, of course, there is, Dave, what you're talking about, BDNF. That is like fertilizer for your brain. And if you can get your attendees walking in some kind of way, that's why I often get people walking on the spot, we release that BDNF, and that helps us focus better, think better. The other thing that happens is, because we're feeling something, we've got the music, we might be dancing, stretching together, moving, that helps us remember things. So when we feel something, we remember it more. That's why when you walk out of a conference, you remember that moment after maybe you've had a stretch or a move, because that's how our body and our brain is designed to be. It's quite an incredible thing that happens both on an individual level, but also in a room. And that connection that we all have when we move together, it's quite an amazing thing to witness.
So, go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Huge jump.
And David, you've probably also seen about how when we do a bit of movement after we have eaten. So, for example, if you get everyone back after lunch and encourage everyone just to stand up and have a bit of a walk, even a 1 to 2 minute walk helps to regulate those blood sugar levels and helps prevent those blood sugar spikes as well. So a little bit of that movement mid-morning, after lunch, mid-afternoon is so, so good for people's energy because we see less of those blood sugar spikes.
Well, I was going to ask about the circadian rhythms being part of that as well. You've got the blood sugar spikes, but also the circadian rhythm, which naturally by the mid-after or early afternoon, we're starting to decline anyway. So I was wanting to put this in context of that because our events are setting people up in the afternoon for fatigue.
Then that walk you can go and do. Yeah, it's incredible what squats can do. If you're someone who likes to squat, then definitely want to get some of those squats in. I mean, there's incredible research out there about these small amounts. Even just a few minutes a day of getting your heart rate up a bit. You're talking about those school kids, David, but also those incidental moments like taking stairs rather than taking the escalator or, having a fast little walk on the spot, doing some squats, something like that, how that can decrease your risk of heart disease by almost 40%. So it's getting out of the mindset that we always need the big moments. And so we think, okay, well, if I don't have an hour to go and do that walk today when I'm at this event, or if you're an event planner, you think, well, there's no way that I can exercise today. These little moments that you can take to not only, get your heart rate up a bit, release all those amazing chemicals that we have, but also to take care of our bodies. There's another study that shows that intermittent stretching throughout your day, and Phil, this is a really good one for you to remember, that decreases your risk of musculoskeletal pain and injury by 72%. Small little moments of stretches and taking care of your body throughout your day. When you're an event planner, you're up on your feet so much of that day, you're just going for it. How often do you take a little moment to stretch out your back, stretch your legs, your hips? You never do it because you just go, 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 go. As an attendee, how often do we do it? We don't, because we're there, listening to all these incredible presentations, get up, have lunch. So if we can look at a way to have even these moments of stretching throughout our day, little stretches on our chair, we don't have to roll out a yoga mat. It's really, really simple. It's really small. And yeah, it just requires a bit of rethinking on our behalf that, okay, we don't have an hour. That's all right. Let's see if we can interact in throughout our day and integrate them in.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been recovering from a lower back issue that was causing radiculopathy down to my foot and numbness. And NPT, that's what they told me to do. Every hour or two, get up and do some light stretches. So if it's a cure, why could it not be a preventative, I think is what I'm hearing you say. So I'm going to back up for a second because, David, your podcast is the business case for why we should do this. And I want to kind of talk about that for a minute because this makes sense. It's like, why wouldn't anyone do this? But there's reasons why. There's reasons why event owners and organizers aren't willing to put this into their program. What's some of the resistance that each of you have met? David, let's start with you. You mentioned preconceived notions. I've been to plenty of events where they've got the gym instructor, the yoga instructor, the dance instructor, Lizzie, and no offense to you, who get up there and try to pump us up immediately without laying the foundation. And now the preconceived notion is, well, no one does it. It's woo-woo, all this kind of thing. And so now you're up against this hurdle of you have to tear down those things. Lizzie, let's have you go on this. I may have just stole your thought. What is the
biggest resistance? Yeah, the biggest resistance, and I totally get it. For me, from event organizers, I don't think people are going to want to do this. This is not for me. Getting everyone up and moving. No one's going to want to do it. And I absolutely get it because I've been at events too where I have seen someone get up, turn on a song and say to everyone, okay, we're going to have a dance. And so everyone's like, oh, I don't really know how to dance or I don't know what moves to kind of do. This is really awkward. And so then they don't do it. So I really, really get the resistance. I constantly hear the resistance at the beginning from the audience. The amount of times I have heard this, oh, she's making us move. No. So like you're saying, David, it's getting the why behind it. It's understanding the science behind it, understanding how it helps people, getting that proof. I often love to show event organizers a whole lot of photos. You can have an audience that's sitting there, arms crossed, you know, looking like they're falling asleep. And then there's photos of audiences where what I get to see on stage are this smiles, this aliveness, this looking at each other, this laughing, this connection piece. So I think it's really about the more you see it, the more that you think, okay, let's give this a go and let's try it. That's definitely a huge amount of resistance from event organizers. And I think you're right, David. This is how it's always been. This feels a little bit scary, a bit out of the comfort zone. So what if it doesn't work? I mean, what do you think, Phil? You've been doing this a long time. Yeah. I managed to convince you to get me on stage that first time many years ago. What do you think?
Well, and I certainly, when you first came to me, didn't understand the science of why this would be beneficial, because I don't even know that you led with that. But I did know what it's like to watch an audience that's slumping in their energy. And I knew intuitively that had to be making a difference. And prior to you coming, we'd been working with a local massage therapist who's not only a therapist, but he's into holistic movement. And he would come and work with our staff, and he would teach them just small techniques like what you do to use throughout the event to help keep their energy up and keep their bodies fresh and supple so they could serve. And so I think I had a bias that it would work, but I think the resistance that I meet, even with my own staff, is, well, that's great, but where are we going to put it in the agenda? Like, you know, you came and worked with our volunteer training. It's like, well, we only have 90 minutes. We can't carve out 10 minutes for her. I said, she only needs two. Can we give her 2 minutes? And I knew you were going to take five, but just, you know, we asked for two because you had to lay the foundation. You know, you needed to explain it before you did the 2 minutes. And so I knew that I was asking for five, but it took some convincing. And even as an organizer, one of the feedback things that we get is it took a long time to get to the keynote. Why did you put all the stuff before there? And, you know, I'm big into music. We put you in there. I think we had a beatboxer after you. There's like all this stuff. But I think once people experience what you do, they're way more open to all those other things because now they're enjoying. You've put them in a different disposition. They're ready to learn, but they're also ready to be there with each other and for whatever is coming next. So I've seen it, and you've convinced me that what you do is different. And I think that's maybe the trigger here, is you're different than what you've seen at other events. Yes, you've probably seen some semblance of the activity, because the activity isn't what's different. You're not teaching different motions. You're teaching a different way to use those motions to activate the oxygen and all the things you guys have been talking about, which I couldn't repeat the technical terms, but I get it. So I think for me, I want to see the audience engage like that. And it does lead to higher scores. It's not the only thing, but it certainly does lead to better connection and learning. So that would be my perspective. Well,
<laughs> 95%.
That's a great question. David, yeah, you talked a
so
minute.
True.
Go ahead, Lizzie. Finish that thought.
I was just thinking about that whole idea of when you're saying you know, what they're going to remember with the CEO. In a way, it's like priming people. I feel like that when I do a keynote or get in there and just get on stage for these breaks, it's like, why would I start speaking and deliver this information that I have, you know, spent my life working on the messaging and trying to get it so people take it away and take action if I haven't primed their brains, their bodies, their emotions to actually intake that information, to experience it, to have their brain switched on. I mean, it makes so much sense to me because I've seen it for so many years, but it's that idea of like, let's get this, the audience, so they're actually taking away what we have delivered to them because there's so much has gone into putting on this event. The event planners have put in so, so much. So let's have them walking away, retaining the information. But also, David, like you're saying, let's have them walking out of there feeling really good and energized rather than, oh, my gosh, now I'm just going to go and have to lie on the floor with this sore back and I'm exhausted and I hardly remember anything at all.
Yeah. Speakers spend so much time preparing. And if we as the organizer don't set the audience up to be able to receive it, we have done a disservice to both, and that will have an impact at the end of the event on MPS. I'm going to give you a forewarning here. I'm going to ask both of you to do something. I'm going to ask you in 2 minutes or less to give me your case for why this is important. But before we go there, David, you made a mention a few minutes ago about 10 air squats once an hour and the benefit of that. Does it have to be an air squat? Is there some special benefit of an air squat, or is it just any kind of movement once an hour that has that benefit? You know, I saw a video that Shalene Johnson did where she was in, had to be a first class bathroom because there was enough room to do this. But she said, once an hour, go into the bathroom and do 10 air squats, then go back to your seat. And I did find out, I was flying business class, that that bathroom had enough space, which the normal bathrooms don't have.
So, I've done that plenty of times in economy. I'll go into the bathroom and do so many little stretches in a very little plane, you know, when we're flying across Australia, you just don't bother doing business class. And but also on my long haul flights, I'll always be up somewhere doing some stretches and moves. And well, you're not really supposed to do this, but by the end of the flight, sometimes there's always a group of people next to me who are getting up and stretching. And I feel so good when I get off that plane. And listen, you know, I can be on that plane for 20 hours when you're in Australia. Yeah, that's what happens.
You aren't the That's hilarious. All right, I want to move to this 2-minute challenge. I've never done this on the show before, but I think this would be really fun. Lizzie, give me your 2-minute motivational speech to the organizer out there who's not convinced yet. Why is movement important at events?
Okay, I want you to picture these two audiences. Let's go with the first audience. So you're looking at this audience. You've spent, you know, days and weeks and months getting this event perfect, and you're there looking at the audience. You think, oh, gosh, they're all starting to slump on their seats a bit. You can see a few of them looking really uncomfortable. They're starting to sort of move around in their chairs, and then even worse, start to see some of them with their hands over their mouth pretending not to yawn. They start to look away from the speaker, and then even worse than that, the phones come out and they start to look at their phones and they're doing some online shopping. You can see that they are not having any interaction with the people next to them that you've worked so hard to try and bring together. And then you see that speaker on stage looking out going, oh, come on, I've got to somehow get these people back to me. That's audience A. Now let's go to audience B. And they're sitting there. They're sitting up straight. You can see their shoulders are back. They're looking really comfortable. They're looking at the person next to them and then the other side, and they've got some smiles. They're having a bit of a laugh together. You can really feel that connection there. They're intent on that speaker. You can see the speaker's got them, and you can see that they are there completely focused on that speaker. They're laughing. They're having a great time. The switch between that audience A and that audience B is so, so simple, and that is to change the state of that audience, and you change that state by getting them moving in some kind of way or taking some kind of action that helps them to, you know, calm their nervous system, that helps release their energy, get the oxygen flowing and boost connection, oxytocins, all the things we were talking about. And the way that we do that is by simple 2 minutes, stretch, breathe, move, dance, turn to the person next to you and interact in some kind of way. It's such a simple little thing to sprinkle into an event. It's such a simple thing that I sprinkle into my keynotes. I've seen other speakers do it. And so it depends what audience you want. All that hard work that you have put into that event, putting in that tiny little sprinkle of magic of movement, can turn that audience A into audience B, and they walk out of that room and they will say to you, that was awesome. Thank you so much. What a great day. I feel so energized. I feel so good. That was so much fun. Thanks so much.
We all want audience B. David, give me your 2 minute pitch. I love it. The four M's, transforming from A to B. This has been so great. We're going to end with the movement moment in just a minute, but I'm going to give both of you a chance. David, where should people connect with you? Perfect. And what about you, Lizzie?
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn. Love a bit of LinkedIn. You can also find me on YouTube if you're wanting to have a bit of a look. If you search up 2 Minute Moves or my name, a whole lot of videos will come up there to give you some idea of how this works.
Well, as feared, the technology didn't work. So thank you for joining us today. And go and change the world one event at a time.
Thanks for listening to the Event Innovator Show. Connect with Phil on philmachon.com and be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode.